Bible second reading, which we'll find in Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone, like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed the two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, The Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, Behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, to do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go whoring after their gods, to make thy sons go whoring after their gods. Ye shall make thee no molten gods. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, as I commanded thee, in the time of the month Abib. For in the month Abib thou camest out from Egypt. All that openeth the matrix is mine. And every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee, and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land, when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven. Neither shalt the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words have I made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither did eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So in the first section, we have verses 1 through 4 as I have it here. We ought, first of all, to see the grace and forgiveness of God in renewing of the covenant, here testified in the commandment of Moses to bring the two tables up that Moses had cast out of his hands. You remember what happened just two chapters ago. Moses came down the mount. They were celebrating an idolatrous feast at the base of Sinai, seeking to worship the God who brought them up out of Egypt by means of a golden calf. Notice that it's not just false gods that are forbidden to us. It is worshiping God in any way that he has not commanded. That is also forbidden to us. And so Moses cast those tables out of his hand and broke them in the sight of all of the people, that they might recognize that they had broken covenant with God. So then the Lord tells Moses to come up and bring some tables with him so that the Lord would write again those very same commandments upon those tables of stone, that the Lord would indeed renew covenant. It's a sign of him renewing covenant with them, of his grace and mercy in the hand, even in those days, of Jesus Christ, who is prefigured by Moses the mediator. He was prefigured in the last chapter in that he interceded for the people. Sorry, in chapter 32, in that he interceded for the people. He is prefigured as the mediator here, in that the Lord is very careful to command that nobody but nobody come near that mountain except Moses. Why? Because Moses is holy? We know better than that. Because Moses is perfect? We know better than that. Moses has been called by God as the mediator to stand in the place of Jesus Christ, showing the people their need of a mediator. They knew Moses. They knew that he was not perfect. And yet, that he was but a man. And yet, it is God that sets Moses in that office of mediator as a type of Christ. So, nobody comes up to the mountain except for Moses. All right, in the second section then, verses 5 through 9, we have the Lord answering Moses' request in chapter 33. Show me thy glory. Now, I think that very often this passage is misconstrued, that everyone focuses on some physical appearance. It does say that the Lord descended in a cloud and passed by Moses. The Lord also told him, no one can see my glory and live. So I don't believe it was the glory of God in that visible apparition. But God did reveal his glory that day. He revealed him his glory in that he said, Yahweh Elohim, right? The Lord God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant, reeve, overflowing in chesed, the emet, mercy and truth. The Lord did reveal Himself that day, but it wasn't a visual. How does the Lord reveal Himself to us? He reveals Himself to us in His Word. He reveals Himself to us, as we heard earlier today, by that Word being proclaimed and the Spirit of God bringing home those truths truthfully to our minds. That's how God reveals Himself. What do you think the Apostle Paul means in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 when he says that we are steadfastly beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ and being transformed from glory to glory? There's no pictures up. There's no faces here. The revelation is in the Word. It's in the proclamation truly of that Word, in the receiving of it truly by God's Spirit to our hearts, and having those truths affirmed by the Spirit of God. Remember, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. And so how is it then that we behold the glory of God? We behold the glory of God when we rightly receive the proclamation of His Word, the reading of His Word, meditation upon His Word. That's how we behold the glory of God. And that's how Moses beheld it that day. It hasn't changed since then. So then, that is the next section. The Lord proclaims His name. He proclaims His glory to Moses. That's how He shows Moses His glory. And there are several things that God says about Himself there. We'll not take the time to discuss them in detail because, frankly, we don't have that kind of time in a scripture reading. All right, so then in verse 10, once again, we have the Lord renewing covenant. I make a covenant. I will continue to reveal Myself to this people miraculously in signs and in My Word. And so the Lord is not drawn back from them, has He? The Lord has not withdrawn His presence for their sin, but in Christ He is propitious toward them. The Lord stipulates also to Moses in the next section through verse 17 the conditions of this covenantal life in the following particulars. First, God's people must remain a separate people. No covenants, no tolerance of false religion, no intermarriages, and no molten images. All of those things. Brothers and sisters, those things still apply to us. Over and over again in Scripture, we see the ruin of the religion of Yahweh in a particular people during a particular time when they partook of any one of these things. When they moved away from worshiping God in the way He was commanded to something else, when the people of God were not so very concerned about who their children married, and so on and so on, we see these things as the destruction of our religion throughout the ages. Whether in the days of Moses, whether in the days of Noah, you remember, whether in our day as well. This is why our confession is very clear, that we who are of the true Reformed religion should not intermarry with infidels, papists, and other idolaters, is how the confession puts it. We must be very careful who we bequeath our sons and daughters to in marriage, who we approve. Children, this means that you must get your family's consent when you marry and not simply go off on your own. Such is the way of great heartache. And the Lord intervenes. Very often He does. But it would be presumption to move in that way and just count on the Lord intervening, wouldn't it? That's right. And we don't presume upon His mercy. Again, means belong to us. Outcomes belong to God. All right, so then in verses 18 through 27... we keep the Lord's appointed feasts and worship. Remember that the Lord has the right. He claims the right to Himself to govern our time and to call us to worship Him at set times. And so here we have not only the Sabbath day, but the other holy days of that era that no longer apply today. The Feast of Booths, Weeks, and Passover, unleavened bread, same feast. Three times in the year, everyone was required to leave their family farms and to come to Jerusalem to worship. They left their children and their wives in many cases. The wives were not required to come with their children for Passover, for Booths, although sometimes they did, but they were not required. But the Lord said, I will protect your farms. I will protect your animals. I will protect your families while you're gone worshiping Me in Jerusalem. Sometimes that was a 3-week ordeal, right? A week to travel, a week to stay, and a week to return. And yet, the Lord was faithful to all of His promises. So the Lord has the right, He claims the right, to command our worship times, to command our worship structure, to command the way we approach Him, just like we would anyone that we serve. We serve the Lord, and so He commands how we serve Him and when we serve Him. And so that fourth commandment there that is reiterated includes such set times of worship as He has commanded in this day, that is, one whole day in seven, the Lord's Day, the day of Christ's resurrection. All right, so then in verses 28 through the end of the chapter, we have once again this is a very interesting situation in that Moses, while he's up in the mountain talking with the Lord, there is some of that glory transferred to Moses. Are you thinking 2 Corinthians 4? You should be. You should be. Because the reason God gave Moses a shining face that day was so the people might look not to Moses, but to the mediator that Moses represented. And there was something that happened in that day that blinded them to that fact. And Paul almost laments of it. It is not a true lament. He is speaking of the needs of the Israelites, that they must leave those former days of a fading glory and move to Christ and the glory of His face, which does not fade. They were to understand, even in that day, that the situation that they enjoyed in that day with Moses going up and behaving as their mediator, being installed by God as their mediator, that was a temporary circumstance. The glory of that system was a fading glory. But the glory of what we have today, beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, not in the face of Moses, that works for us, Paul says, an eternal weight of glory. It's eternal and it's weighty. It passes not away. It will not leave. The glory of Jesus Christ does not fade. Moses' glory faded in those days to teach the people that system was to pass away and give itself up to Christ when Christ came. Thus ends the reading then of Exodus chapter 34.